So I just want to get the record clear before you all get his story. If you're here tonight and you don't hunt or you're offended by that, I'm sorry. Take it up with the Constitution. We started early in the morning, and Pastor Dave and I separated off. I wanted to make sure he wasn't going to shoot me, so I wanted to make sure we had good separation there. And I let a big doe go by, and a little spike buck went by, and I said, if I'm going to shoot something and he's not today, I want to make sure it's worthwhile. And about an hour after I've been sitting there, just a monster buck. I mean, this guy is a trophy if there ever is one, came up and just getting ready to squeeze off the round and put that deer down. And something got in my head. I said, it'd be terrible for you to go home with something today and Pastor Dave not come home with absolutely nothing. Yeah. And I said, but you can't just let this thing go by. What can I do to make it look like, I tried and it got away? And so I went for a shot that would just graze its belly and leave some little white hair there. One of those graze shots. And then I texted him and had him come help me to try to look for the deer that I didn't even hit. And so that's pretty much how it went yesterday. Boy, I tell you what, it was miserable. I missed two deer. Okay, there you go. There's the truth. Four shots, went home with nothing, saw 12 deer, came home with absolutely nothing. All right. But we had a good time anyway. Praise the Lord. Hey, go ahead and stand, if you would. Proverbs chapter 4, just one verse I want to read tonight. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's read that again. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your precious word that you have preserved through the ages. Lord, we can have your word and not worry about whether it's accurate, worry about whether it's true. Lord, we've got that tonight, and I thank you and praise you for it. And I pray now that you would use your word to prick the hearts of the people that are here tonight. Lord, you've spoken to me. I pray that you continue to speak to me. But Lord, I pray for those that are here that they would come. I pray that they would set aside the cares of the world tonight, not worry about what's going on back at home or worrying about other things. Lord, help them to be able to focus upon you and what you have for them tonight. Move me out of your way. Let only the words that you want to come out of my mouth come out of my mouth this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Want to look tonight at the heart of man. Now, I did preach this, as Pastor had said. I did preach this message, several weeks ago, a month ago or so, in the chapel, and actually the class downstairs got a little bit of this too. I've revamped it a little bit, okay? So it's not going to be exactly the same thing. But evidently, the Lord is trying to tell me something if he's having me preach this message so often. I want to look at the heart of man tonight. Before we do that, I want to just give you some facts about the heart, the physical heart that beats inside of each and every one of us. Some very interesting facts, things that I didn't know and that quite frankly blew my mind away when I looked these things up. The average adult heart beats 72 times a minute. That's 100,000 times in one day and 3,600,000 times in a year. And in an average lifespan, your heart's going to beat about 2.5 billion times. The average heart, again, the average adult human heart only weighs 11 ounces, yet in one day, the healthy heart pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels each day. Now, I don't know if some of you may see, Pastor Dave, and they've got that little pool that they set up back there in the summer. I think that's about a 4,000-gallon pool or something like that. So about half of that, 2.5 times around the world in a day. That's pretty impressive, if you ask me. God's done something pretty impressive, hasn't he, when he created us? Amen? He created us. We didn't just land up here. We didn't evolve or anything like that. God fabricated us. God put some thought into it, and God made us exactly the way that we are. And the heart is a pretty phenomenal thing that he made. Every day, the heart creates enough energy to drive a truck 20 miles. In a lifetime, that's equivalent to driving to the moon and back. Something else I didn't know about the heart, because the heart has its own electrical impulse, it can continue to beat even when separated from the body. as long as it has an adequate supply of oxygen. So the heart is an amazing organ that's inside of us, and the heart does some pretty important things for the human being. It gets blood through the body, which delivers oxygen to the brain. You know, if you don't have oxygen in the brain, you die. Okay, the heart pumps blood through the vessels that brings nutrients to your body, necessary nutrients in order for you to be able to grow, in order for you to be able to have strength to continue on and work through the day. The heart is without question the most important organ in the human body. And in spite of its amazing construct, the heart is victim, though, to many problems, isn't it? Right? Some of you here tonight know about heart problems and the different things that can go wrong with the heart, the diseases of the heart. And there's a lot of focus today on heart health. You go to the grocery store, and there's all these things lined up that say, good for the heart, good for the heart. Take one bear aspirin every single day. Take fish oil. Take cod liver oil. Take this kind of oil. Eat garlic. Eat this. Eat that. And all of these things to help with the heart. My doctor, about when we first got here, told me I had, went in for a checkup, and he told me I had high cholesterol. And so I'd seen those commercials on television about oatmeal. Said, oatmeal lowers your cholesterol. I said, well, okay, if it's a commercial, it must be true. So for about the next six months, honestly, I ate almost nothing but oatmeal for breakfast. I even stopped going to McDonald's and getting my Egg McMuffin. Quit all that. I'm sure that had nothing to do with cholesterol. I ate oatmeal. I went back. I'm not making this up. I went back to the doctor. And my doctor, you got to understand him, he doesn't really have a sense of humor. He sat there. And they got my blood working. He came back and he said, well, I don't want to tell you. He said, you've dramatically cut your cholesterol. You're now on the low side. I mean, you're way down there. He said, what did you do? I said, well, I ate oatmeal. He didn't even turn around to look at me. All right, ate oatmeal. But no, there's a lot of concentration on heart health. As a matter of fact, in America today, heart disease is still the number one killer. People die today in America of heart disease more than any other cause of death. And the thing about our heart and the thing about the disease and the problems of our heart is many times we don't know about it until it's too late. Our heart doesn't often give us a whole lot of advance notice that something is going on, and we don't tend to consciously think about our heart every day that we wake up. I mean, it's beating, so we're good. I mean, we don't wake up in the morning and crank it to get it so well. So maybe some of you do. I don't know, but we don't have to do that. We don't have to consciously think about our hearts, and so because of that, we often don't do anything about it until it's too late. The Bible makes 765 references to the heart of man. 765 references to the heart of man. Now, it's not when the Bible refers to the heart of man, I know we're not necessarily speaking about that physical organ that's pumping blood through the heart. We're talking about that seat of affection that lies in man. The heart of man is that part of every individual from which passion is stirred, from which emotions are kindled, and from where the desires originate. The heart is what makes you you. It's the heart of man, and the Bible has an awful lot to say about it. But just like the physical heart is amazing in its makeup and in all of the functions that the physical heart does for us, and so very necessary, so the heart of man is equally amazing. You see, the heart of man is spoken about in the Scriptures does some pretty amazing things too. You know, it's with the heart that we believe unto salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know the story over in Acts chapter 8 of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip was going along, and God transported him there. I mean, he's there, and he says, hey, I need you to go talk to that man in the chariot. Of course, Philip did something that most of us don't do. He ran right to that chariot, hopped in, and said, hey, let me tell you about what you're reading here. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. They go along, and after he'd been told about Jesus Christ, the Ethiopian eunuch said, hey, look, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you ask me, with the heart of man, it does something pretty amazing in the fact that the heart of man believes unto righteousness. But also with the heart of man, we trust. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, our daily life is meant to be lived in trust. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so one of the critical functions of the heart of man is to place our trust in the Lord each and every day, not just for salvation, but for everything that we would do, for the decisions that we would make, for the places that we would go, for the things that we would say. We're supposed to trust the Lord. And that's a function that we're supposed to do with the heart. Believe the Lord with the heart, not just with your head. Believe in the heart. We're supposed to love the Lord with all of our heart. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." So the heart of man, as referred to in the Scriptures, has some pretty important functions for the Christian life as well. Just equally as the physical heart beats and keeps us going, so the spiritual heart, we're supposed to keep it, the Bible says, with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life are loving the Lord and placing faith in the Lord. Those are the issues of life. I mean, I know there's many ways to summarize the Christian life, but when Christ summarizes it as, first of all, loving God, and then when he says, without faith it's impossible to please him, I think that's two pretty good ways of summing up the way we should live our Christian life. But just as the physical heart is often neglected, has unseen problems, so the heart of man that's referred into the Scripture is often neglected. And I'm talking about in our own lives. In the lives of Christians, the lives of believers, we often neglect the condition of our heart. How many of us woke up this morning with the thought on our mind of, what is my heart's condition? What is the relationship of my heart with my Lord? What kind of condition is it in? Just like our physical heart is neglected, so is our spiritual heart. And there are problems that can arise without us even knowing it, without us even paying attention to it. And it's these problems that I want to focus on tonight. Three problems that I want to talk about, and I'm sure that there are a whole lot more, but three problems that I want to give us a warning about and let us know, hey, look, these problems can come up in your life, and maybe they've already come up in your life and you aren't even really aware of it. The first one is that the heart can be hardened. You can have a hardened heart. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Now, as we go through each one of these problems, I want to give you the problem. I want to give you what the typical symptoms are of the problem. Then I want to tell you a little bit about the cure of the problem. It doesn't do any good to know what our problem is and then feel like we have no hope, no way of fixing our problem. Now, when we talk about the hardened heart, we're talking about a heart that's characterized by someone who hears God's word or God's will, who understands what God's word is saying, or understands what God is asking for us to do, and then willfully rejects it. That's a hardened heart. Over in the book of Hebrews, when he said, "Harden not your heart," as in the provocation, he's talking about referring back to the children of Israel. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews. Turn over there, Hebrews chapter 3. As you know, the children of Israel were brought out with a mighty hand by the Lord out of Egypt. No question that it was the Lord that brought them out of there. Goodness, you look at all the plagues that they had to go through. That wasn't chance. It wasn't circumstance. Getting through the Red Sea, that wasn't chance. It wasn't circumstance. The Pharaoh's army being swept over in the Red Sea, that wasn't just luck that it happened that way. It wasn't just a wind that happened to come through and then a couple million people were able to go across on dry land and then just by chance everything fell back over when Pharaoh and the armies went through. That was God that did that. But yet still, when they got into the wilderness, they saw the giants in the land. Not believing God, they hardened their hearts and said, "We're not going to go there just quite yet because we're not able to do that right now." Hebrews chapter 3. What I want you to notice is the root of a hard heart is unbelief. Folks, you've got to get this. The root of a hardened heart is unbelief. Go down to verse 15. We've already read verse 8 where it says, "Harden not your heart." Down in verse 15 it says, "While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" Now get this. "And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not." Folks, the children of Israel hardened their heart against God because they did not believe he was who he said he was, the I Am. They did not believe that he would do what he said that he would do, bring them into the promised land. And they did not believe that the way that he wanted them to get there was the right way. How many times in our own Christian life are we exactly the same way? First of all, we've got to believe in who God is. We've got to believe who God is. We've got to believe what He did for us in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for your sins. He was buried and arose again 3 days later, according to the Scriptures. Amen. If you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never believed with your heart in Jesus Christ, you need to do that tonight. Well, the message tonight is primarily for those of us who have been saved. We've heard the Word of God. We know what God wants us to do. Maybe God is calling you to do something. Maybe there's somebody in this room tonight that God is trying to call you into the ministry. Maybe God's trying to call you away from what you're doing right now and into something else. And you know that's what God's trying to make you do, what God is telling you to do. And you've hardened your heart because you believe that you have a better way. Maybe you know tonight that it's the right thing for you to do. I know this. It's the right thing for me to do to be a witness to everybody that I come into contact with. I've got no question about it. I can show you Scripture upon Scripture and God's Word, how we're supposed to be a witness to the people that we come in contact with. Yes. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Are you doing it?
Yep.
I'm not doing it. Not the way I ought to. I mean, I'll leave a track. You know, you go to a restaurant, you pay the bill, and you put your tip in there, and you slip the track in behind. You try to get out before anybody sees you put the track in there. You know, maybe if you really get up the courage and you're at the grocery store, you're able to pull that out as long as nobody's behind you. Here's something for you to read on break. Get out of here. If we believed that it's what God would have us to do, how much more would we do what we're supposed to be doing? But our hearts are hardened, folks, because for some reason we really, really don't believe that God really cares. We don't believe that He really genuinely cares that that's what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe we don't believe that our prayer life is very important. Maybe we don't really believe that God answers our prayers, and so it's not really worth us taking the time to pray. Maybe we don't really believe that it's important enough for us to be in the Scriptures for us to take the time to do it. And so maybe we've hardened our hearts towards being in God's Word, towards praying. Maybe we don't believe some of the things that Pastor Dave and our pastor preach from this pulpit. You know the things that they preach up here are for our good. And it's not just them. They're preaching the Word of God. It's not just a man standing up here saying a whole bunch of words. You got to get this. They're not just standing up here because they like to hear themselves speak. They're standing up here because they're called by God to preach to you, to give you what God knows you need to hear. But yet some of us will sit there and listen to what is being preached and say, I don't believe it. You've hardened your heart. Just as the day of provocation, just as the children of Israel who heard what God said, who knew what God wanted them to do, and said, no, that's not the way for us to do it. No, God, I don't want to wait for Moses to come down. He's been up there too long. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to believe in the way that you told us to worship. Aaron, come here. Take these earrings. Go make us a god. They harden their heart against God. Folks, our hearts can be hardened in so many different ways. Maybe as Pastor Dave has been preaching in Sunday school, maybe God's trying to get you to forgive somebody for something they've done to you. No, I can't forgive. He said it over and over again. He's heard people tell him, I can't forgive them. You can't forgive them because your heart is hardened. There's no way around that, folks. Your heart is hardened. When we don't do the things that God desires for us to do that we know we ought to be doing, our heart is hardened. So many things that we can harden our heart in. Turn over to Mark chapter 3 and verse 5. Mark chapter 3 and verse 5. The first thing that I want you to notice is that the so-called spiritual folks can harden their hearts. Mark chapter 3 and verse 5. Of course, we know that the Pharisees were supposedly the spiritual elite of the day. You had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and all of these folks consistently, constantly trying to wrap Christ up in His words and trying to trick Him and trying to do something that would cause Him to mess up because their hearts were hardened against Him. Mark chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "And when He looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. Here you see Christ healed this man with the withered hand on the Sabbath day. But what I want you to notice is what Christ was. Christ was first of all angry at the hardness of their hearts. Yeah. Christian, do you think that our God is angry with us when we harden our hearts? I guarantee you he is. Our God's a jealous God. Our God wants us to obey him. When we harden our hearts and refuse to listen to the things that he wants us to do, he becomes angry. But I want you to notice what else it says there. He was grieved. Our God is grieved. Just think, as a father, I love for my children to obey me and do what I ask them to do. And Brooke's the only one here to know. Bella's here. I was going to say, I can't embarrass all of them. Let me start with you and then I'll go. No. How much joy do you have as a parent when your child obeys you? But how much grief do you have as a parent when your child not just one time says, does something wrong but willfully disobeys you, when they know you told them to do this or you told them not to do that, and they turn their heart against you and do it anyway? That grieves you as a parent, doesn't it? How does it grieve our Lord when we willfully harden our heart and say, Lord, I'm not going to do that? Right. One of the conditions of the heart that we've got to watch out for is the hardening of our heart. It's manifested, characterized by someone who hears his word, understands it, but doesn't do it. But it can be fixed. A hardened heart can be fixed. The fix for the hardened heart, the cure for the hardened heart, amazingly, is a broken heart. A broken heart. Psalm 34 and verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Turn over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Of course, you know the great sin that David committed with Bathsheba. The adultery that led to the murder. Psalm 51, we have David's account of begging God's forgiveness. In Psalm 51 and verse 17, David says, the sacrifices of God are a broken... Start in verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now jump back and just look at verse 1. That's the picture. That's what David said. It was necessary in order for God to look down upon us and accept what we have to offer. It wasn't just a sacrifice. It wasn't just emotion. It had to be the breaking of the heart. And this is what David was doing in verse 1 when he cried out, have mercy upon me, O God. See, David, I don't just think he said, oh, I've sinned. Let me go ahead and fill the check and ask God for forgiveness. David's heart was broken because of his sin. He knew that he had committed offense against God. And he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And he said in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. O Christian, I wish today that each and every one of us will get a hold of that. If God shows you that you've hardened your heart in some way, would to God we would do what David did. Fall down on our knees with a broken and a contrite heart. Say, God, forgive me for the hardening of my heart. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Fix my heart. Break my heart. And you know what? The Lord will do that. The Lord will repair your heart. Yep. Yeah. Psalm 147 and verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart. You see, first of all, God's got to break our heart. We've got to come with that contrite spirit. But then God can heal that broken heart. And then you can do what David said he desired to do in verse 11. Verse 11, he said, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Folks, it's hard to have joy when you have a hardened heart. I didn't see much joyfulness in the children of Israel when they were wandering around the desert for 40 years with their hardened hearts. David did not have joy. He said, mend the bones that you have broken. It's because, he said he cried every night in his bed. You imagine that, every single night, going to bed and crying. Why? Because of his sin, because of the hardness of his heart. God can fix that tonight. If the condition of your heart tonight is a hardened heart, God can fix it. God's got to break your heart before he's going to fix that hardened heart. Second thing I want to notice tonight, second thing that can happen to this heart the heart of man is that your heart can be stolen. Your heart can be stolen. Turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Pastor Dave scared me a little bit this morning when he got onto this passage. I thought he was going to take the message. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And we'll go ahead and read from verse 1 down through verse 6. It came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses, and 50 men ran to run before him. Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king, that's David, for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there's no man deported of the king to hear thee." Absalom said moreover, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now you do understand that he stole the hearts from King David. King David, the one that Pastor spoke about this morning. King David, the one that killed the giant Goliath. King David, the one where the people, when he came into the city, they sang about David slaying his 10,000. Saul only his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. They loved King David in the land of Israel. But somebody good looking, long flowy hair comes along. Somebody who said the right things comes along. And that's all it took to steal the hearts of the men. Christian, in our lives, it doesn't take a whole lot to steal our hearts away from our Lord. The characteristic or the symptom of a heart that is stolen, it's characterized by lost love. Lost love. What are the things that you used to love doing for the Lord that you don't do anymore? Those are the areas where your heart has been stolen. Did you used to love to show up here on Saturday morning and go out soul winning? And now you don't do it at all? Your heart's been stolen. Did you used to love to wake up in the morning and spend time with the Lord, praying, reading His Word, and now you can't even get up early enough to do it? Your heart's been stolen. Did you used to love coming to church and hearing the preaching of God's Word, and now you only show up every now and then, or maybe you just do it out of emotion, something that you've done your whole life, so you're going to continue to do it. Have you lost your love? If you've lost your love, has your heart been stolen by something else? And folks, we got to be very, very careful, because I tell you what, you notice who it was that stole here. It was a man. A man stole the hearts of Israel. Men can steal your hearts. Men can turn your hearts away from God. Our pastor, Pastor Dave, will preach it over and over again from this pulpit. The minute that they start going off of the book is the minute that we leave them behind and we'll find somebody else. But I got to tell you something else. There's folks outside of the walls of this church that people are turning their hearts to just as well, but still showing up inside these doors. Be careful, folks. Be careful. Don't let your heart be stolen because somebody says something that sounds good. You prove them. The Bible says to try them and prove them. You try them and you hold them up against the meter of God's Word. If they don't measure all the way up, then you get rid of them. Don't listen to those folks. Folks that are on television, I get... Sometimes I like just listening to them because I need a good laugh. I need a good laugh sometimes, and you listen to them. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of folks whose hearts have been stolen by those so-called preachers on television because they're not holding them up to the meter of God's Word. Our hearts can be stolen in so many ways. The fix for a stolen heart, mostly preventative. The verse that we started out with in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Christian, we gotta first of all be aware that somebody is out there trying to steal your heart. If the Israelites had understood what was going to happen, had seen what Absalom was trying to do, maybe they would have been a little bit more aware and a little bit more cautious. Hey, we've got plenty of warning. We've got warning over and over again about the teachers that will come because people just have itching ears and want to hear a bunch of good things that sound right. And we're warned to watch out for wolves in sheep clothing. We've got the warning. We're to be diligent and to keep our hearts from such things. One good way to keep your heart is to stand behind what's being preached from this pulpit. You stand behind the man of God. God has placed a shepherd over this church. I'm grateful that we've got a shepherd that is unapologetic about preaching from this word. And folks, can I help you just a little bit tonight? If you're not on board, if you don't agree with 100% of what pastor wants to do, you don't agree with 100% of what he preaches for this pulpit, in my estimation, you've got a couple of choices. You know, listen, we don't all agree 100% with everything that everybody says. You can be quiet about it. You can be quiet about it and let the Lord work on your heart. Say, Lord, just help me to have the right attitude. If something the pastor says, something Pastor Dave says, something I say, Bobby, somebody else preaching up here, they say something that you don't agree with, Lord, help me. Help me to have the right attitude about that. But listen, folks, if you just can't handle it, if you can't handle it, don't stay here and cause problems. Okay, I don't know where that came from, preacher. I'm sorry. But don't stay here and cause problems. Go somewhere else where you can be a blessing and a benefit to that church, okay? I really don't know where that came from. Our hearts can be stolen. The fix, though, is to be diligent with our hearts. We need to be diligent. We need to keep our hearts. Another thing that can happen with our heart, though, is that our hearts can turn faint. Our hearts can turn weak. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Our hearts can be hardened. We've got to be cautious about our hearts turning hard towards God. Our hearts can be stolen. We've got to be diligent and be watching for those things in the world that might steal our heart or the people that might be speaking and trying to steal our heart. But then we also can have a faint heart or a weak heart. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 20, God is setting out the laws for when the children go out to war, when the children of Israel go out to war. There's a time coming when they're going to go into the Canaan land and they need to fight wars. And God's setting up those laws. Here in verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8, "And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his." The picture that we have here is everybody's getting ready to go out to war. We're going into the Canaan land. Okay, first we've got Jericho. Then we're going to go up against the city of Ai. We're all going to gather the children of Israel to war. If somebody's there and they're afraid and they don't want to go to war, they're afraid they're going to get hurt. They're afraid they're going to get slapped in the face. They're afraid they're going to die. God said, those are the people that you need to just send home. I don't want that person out on the front line and then the person next to them seeing that they're fearful and that they're shaking, and then all of a sudden they start getting fearful and they shake too. You remember what happened to the children of Israel when that big Goliath, the Philistine, was standing there, right? Where was everybody? Hiding behind the rocks. King Saul should have been the one standing out front saying, come on, boys, let's go get him. He was back in the tent. So everybody else said, I suppose if he's afraid, I should be afraid. One person goes behind a rock. Another person goes behind a rock. Then the little boy David comes up and says, what? Is there not a cause? Let's go get this guy. But oftentimes in our own lives, our heart can become faint. Our heart can turn weak. Maybe it's because somebody that we've really seen as a pillar in the faith, somebody that we've seen and held up high as a strong Christian, has fallen. Maybe they've turned afraid. Maybe they've lacked courage. And because of that, we start to have a faint heart. There's nothing sadder to me than going and meeting somebody who once was on fire for the Lord. I've been on visitation times, and you meet folks, I was called of the Lord to preach, and I went to Bible school, and I knew the Lord was going to do this, and then this happened in my life, and now I'm not really doing anything. They became faint in heart. Their heart was weakened because of circumstances, weakened because of something else that happened in our life. Christian, if we're not careful, our heart can become weak. Maybe your heart already is weak. Maybe you don't have the strength and the conviction that you once had to do the things that you know the Lord is calling you to do. There's a cure for the faint heart. There's a cure for the weak heart. You know, the Lord is the one that strengthens the heart. The Lord is the cure for the weak heart. Psalm 27 and verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Again, in Psalm 31 and verse 24, the Bible says, be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart. You see, it's the Lord that gives us the strength to continue in the battle. Why do so many people who have started out so good on the race, why do they falter in the middle of the race? Because they've relied upon their own strength. They've not relied upon the strength of the Lord to get them through. Listen, we go through tough times. Every single one of us do. If you haven't gone through a tough time, just wait a little while. It's coming. If we try to rely upon our own strength to get us through those tough times, we will falter. We will fail. And the problem with that is we might drag somebody else with us. They might see us falter. They might see us fail. They might see us start to question God. They might see us turn our back on God because of the tough times. And when they see us falter and fail, they may falter and fail. We've got to be careful of the conditions of the heart. Our heart is not something that we're accustomed to always thinking about. As we've already said, with the physical heart, we oftentimes just don't really think about it. But the same is with the spiritual heart. We oftentimes don't really think about it. But just as people many times refuse to believe that they have a problem with their physical heart, you know the people, listen to the doctor and say, nah, it's okay. Everything's all right. I'm just, as long as I just keep going plugging, everything will be all right. You know, there's people like that. Refuse to believe that anything's wrong with them. Folks, tonight, the vast majority of Christians will refuse to believe that there's anything wrong with their spiritual heart as well. There's a reason for that. And it relates to the heart too. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, your heart will try to convince you that it's absolutely fine. Lord may have been speaking to you about something tonight. Say, oh, harden your heart. You've hardened your heart in this area in your life. Stolen. Your heart's been stolen away. Weak. You're weak. You're faint at heart in this area. And your heart's telling you, no, that's just something else. I'm just on a little low point in my life. Everything's okay with my heart. You see, your heart's deceitful. Your heart will try to convince you that nothing is wrong with it. So what do we do? The only way that we're going to be able to have our heart fixed, the only way that we're going to find out the true problems of our heart, what do? When you think you've got a heart problem, look, 2 years ago, I was sitting in my office, and I was only 36, much younger than Pastor Dave. I'm sitting at my desk, and I start to feel this pain right up in here. And I mean, not just, what is that? No, I mean, it hurt. And I sat there for about another hour, and it hurt. And then all of a sudden, my fingers start tingling. I was like, that doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem normal. And then I start feeling, every now and then, there's little flittery things in my chest. Maybe I should call the doctor. I called the doctor, and he said, yeah, you need to go to the hospital right now, young man. And so if you all have problems waiting in the emergency room, just tell them you've got something wrong with your heart. Okay? It works. I walked in. I'm perfectly able to walk in myself. I walk in, I'm sure I look, about as good as this ugly face can look. But I walked in. I was even in uniform, so everything looked like I'm doing great. And I go up to the volunteer there at the desk and say, sir, what can I do for you? I've been having chest pain. Somebody come up behind me with a wheelchair, just about knocked me down into the wheelchair. They wheeled me past. There's about 30 people waiting in the waiting room going, how come this guy gets in, right? I thought something was wrong with my heart, so I went to the doctor to see if something was wrong with my heart. Christian, don't rely upon yourself to find out if there's something wrong with your heart or not. You need to go to the great physician to find out if there's something wrong with your heart. You see, it's the Lord that searches the heart. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. I already told you that. Your heart will try to trick you. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Don't rely upon whether you think that your heart is okay with God tonight. If you're here wondering whether or not you're saved, whether or not your heart belongs to the Lord, don't wonder. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Let the great physician handle that. If you think maybe I've got a hardened heart problem, don't ignore that. Go to the great physician. Ask him to pinpoint that problem and show you what it is. If you think somebody's stolen your heart, something has stolen your heart from the Savior, go to the great physician. Let him show you what that is. If you think that your heart has become weak, or you know that your heart has become weak, go to the great physician. Let him help that weakened condition. Proverbs again, verse 4 and 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Folks, this life is too short for us to play around with heart problems. Why did I go to the doctor? Because I was only 36 years old. It's just not right. I went to the doctor. Wherever you are in your life tonight, in your spiritual life, the heart condition is not something to play around with. It's not something to ignore. It's not something to say, "I'll be okay tomorrow. I can just keep pushing on." If you ignore the hardening of your heart, if you ignore a heart that's been stolen away from God, if you ignore a faint and a weak heart, the outlook is not good for you. Just like an individual that has problems with their physical heart. Condition of your heart is critically important to living a successful Christian life. You must let the great physician give you a checkup daily and show you what heart problem you may have. Whether your heart's hardened, stolen, weak, fainting, the great physician can heal that heart condition and give you a life that will be pleasing and honoring to him. Pastor.
Really, what's the condition of our heart? Do we have a hardened heart? Many times I think we do. We hear the word of God and it just repels off us like water off a duck. It's dangerous to have a hardened heart. Pharaoh just kept hardening his heart over and over and over. As Brother Mike preached, I thought about a scripture. Scripture over in Corinthians says, Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith or not. Has someone stolen your heart? I wonder if their heads bowed and their eyes closed. How many say, "Preacher, as Brother Mike preached tonight, the Holy Spirit of God came out and he spoke to my heart. There's something in my life and God spoke to me." Would you pray that I could get that taken care of? Who'd say that? Just raise that hand. God spoke, "Yes, I see that." Who else? God spoke to my heart. There's some things. Don't harden your heart. That's why we're in the condition we get in. God speaks to us about something, and we harden our heart. I know God wanted me to hear that message tonight. He impressed on me so much. Get a hold of Brother Mike. Get a hold of Brother Mike. He's got a message you're supposed to hear. We need to be careful no matter who we are, to take good care of our heart. My sister-in-law passed away this morning with a heart attack. 42 years old. 42 years old. I know that's a physical death. But I wonder how many Christians, or young Christians, they've got heart failure right now too, spiritually. Just waiting for something to strike them down. Father, help us for the issues of our heart. God, make our hearts soft and pliable. Help us to have the heart that would be pleasing to you. Help us to be careful not to fall into those traps that would take our heart away from you. Help us tonight to draw close to you. We ask these in Christ's name. Amen.